Evening. Never know what God's going to ask you to do when you give your life to Him. This is the last thing. So, in case you don't know, my name is Carl. And I was born a third-generation Seventh-day Adventist. My grandfather, my dad, and four of my uncles were all SDA pastors. My mother and her family bought the lie from a call porter when she was 15. To my mother's credit, I learned to read from the Bible. While I did struggle with the old King James Version that we had at home, I recall being attracted to it. And by the age of 6 or 7, I had prayed for Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. Whether I was born again at that time or not is uncertain, but I felt a call in my heart to follow Jesus. Unfortunately, the sufficiency of Scripture was not part of my upbringing, and I progressed into readings from household favorites like Patriarchs and Prophets and The Great Controversy to get the rest of the story. As I learned the SDA teaching of salvation in security and their altered version of progressive sanctification, I became more and more saddened and discouraged. My reading of Scripture had sharpened my awareness of my own sin to such a degree that I knew I was incapable of achieving righteousness required to stand before God when judged. To my discredit, I believed what I was being taught without question, and the roots that I'd been putting down into the soil of the Word dried up. I have learned only recently that during this time period, when I was about 7, my mother was losing confidence in the authority of Ellen White. Sadly, I was still raised from that time without any direction away from Adventist doctrine. Why, I'm not sure, but perhaps it was her commitment to my dad or her family. Or maybe she believed, as many Adventists do, that there is room in the gospel for differences, that we all worship the same Jesus, and that if we are sincere enough, a loving God will accept us in spite of our ignorance. My theological conclusions, such as they are as a boy, were as follows. I knew I was a sinner, incapable of being without sin. Pretty good so far. However, because of the sanctuary doctrine, I also believed that I would have to one day face judgment for each of my sins. Taken to its full conclusion, this led me to the belief that I am responsible for my own salvation. Furthermore, I believed that Satan was a nearly godlike being with the power to create, and that he was the alternative to serving God. The Bible made it clear to me that there are only two options of whom we will serve when Jesus says in Matthew 12, "Whoever is not with me is against me." In addition, my understanding of the final judgment and hell was that I would be consumed and annihilated. I eventually grew to accept that I would serve myself and Satan, finding as much pleasure as available to me, and ultimately burn for a little while in hell. This, compared to the futile life of attempting to obey an impossible law, seemed like the lesser of miseries. I spent the next 15 years in the proverbial pig pen of the world. This led me to a couple of rehab centers, dealing with addiction, disease, and a couple of times in jail for multiple felonies. While none of these results of life lived against God were pleasant, they are not what I remember as the worst. I remember living in a place of what I can only imagine part of the pain of hell to be. My heart became isolated from God, and I was completely without hope. Through a series of events in my life that I believe the Lord arranged, I called on my parents for help to get myself together. I was determined to join society and be productive, but I did not yet turn from my life of sin. Some years later, through the working of the Holy Spirit, I began to be aware that while my life appeared stable, I was still miserable, and everything else in my life would only distract me temporarily. I began to pray. Since I had once resolved to live a life against God, I felt that I needed to be clear about who it was I was praying to. So I would often pray specifically to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I felt led to seek God out, but because I still believed that Adventism was the true church, that is where I ended up. After a few years, I had settled down, married, and was finding my place in the local church, serving the youth and even ordained as an elder. In spite of these changes, I still knew that I was not going to be saved. I knew that the life of a productive, church-going citizen was better than where I'd been, but I'd not found anything of eternal significance or value. While half-heartedly participating at our church, Jesus Christ began to convict my heart. My dad had given me a set of tapes called the Creator Series by Pastor Chuck Misler. He gave them to me because of the engineering bent that the presentations are given in, and he knew I would enjoy them. What I suspect he didn't predict is that I would hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and become dogmatically convicted that the scripture is the inerrant word of God and contains all that we need. The truth began to work in my heart, and I began to cognitively perceive that salvation could never be based on my merit. As I started to look at things from a perspective that allowed myself to believe the SDA religion may have gotten some things wrong, everything began to change. But still, a couple of years passed by, and to my shame, I settled into the thought of, well, I don't believe everything they do, but every church has its problems and takes things too far at times. I just didn't know what I didn't know. And I was given a son. I was faced with the question of whether or not I would raise my boy in a religion that I didn't believe in and that had led me to despair and self-destruction. During my own childhood, it was during this time that two books played a significant role in my decision process. The first was Choosing Your Faith by Mark Middleberg. It seemed that for the first time, I realized that my religion should be my choice. And a shift took place in my thinking about choosing my own religion and opened the door for me to read the next one. The Truth Led Me Out by our beloved Pastor Dale Ratcliffe. Within a month, we attended Trinity for the first time. And 2 weeks later, we attended our first FAF weekend, where my wife renounced Adventism and gave her life to Jesus. We also began attending FAF Friday night Bible study and, of course, Sunday lunch at the Tinkers. The process of understanding salvation, security, and finding my place in the body of Christ seemed to progress more slowly for me than it did for my wife at times. But as I read the word and heard the gospel preached, it began to do its work in my heart, slowly removing many layers of bad doctrine and softening my heart so that I now know that I am saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ, my Lord. As I've shared my new faith with others, one of the common responses from Adventists and from Christians who disagree with my efforts to discredit the SDA doctrine is that they believe the differences are minor, that we are all part of the same family, serve the same Jesus, and that we are making too big a deal about minor issues. This is not the case. The true Adventist doctrine puts me back under the old covenant and under the law of death, according to Galatians. It declares that I am not saved until the investigative judgment, and that when Jesus said it is finished, it wasn't. It makes Satan the scapegoat, and therefore the one who will ultimately bear my sins instead of my Lord Jesus on the cross. It makes me merely a body, rather than a spirit being with a body, and puts me in the grave at death rather than with the Lord. It once gave me peace in my sin because it taught me that hell wouldn't be that bad, and I now rejoice in Christ's mercy that has rescued me from eternal punishment and separation from God. To put it mildly, the SDA doctrine modifies the Jesus of the Bible. These unorthodox doctrines have their origin in and are supported by the writings of Ellen G. White, a biblically proven false prophet. It is because fundamental Adventists, as in the case of my parents, venerate her writings on a level with Scripture that Christian theologians such as J. Vernon McGee, Lewis Talbot, and John MacArthur agree that Seventh-day Adventism must be labeled a cult. I believe this would have been the conclusion of Walter Martin as well, had he not been lied to by the Adventist Church. Is Christianity inclusive enough for this? Jesus teaches that the way of salvation is not a catch-all that includes all who are sincere and mean well. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Enter by the gate, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Whether we are in the role of teaching our children truth or shepherding a God-given flock, we have an obligation to guard God's people against the evangelistic, or rather, proselytizing efforts of those who are teaching well-crafted and deceptive doctrines of another gospel and a different Jesus. Scripture tells us that we have a responsibility not to withhold what we know, but rather to contend for the faith and the true gospel of the only Jesus Christ of Scripture.